We'll be in John chapter 6 for most of the time today. So take your Bibles and turn there with me. John chapter 6, the Gospel of John. Before we begin our study of God's Word today, let's go to Him in a short time of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your wonderful love. Thank you for your many, many blessings that we enjoy as your children. Thank you for the blessings we enjoy in this nation, Father, in this country. Thank you for your mercy, your grace, your wonderful love that you shower upon us. Thank you for the word that you have given to us, and for your Holy Spirit that dwells within us to lead and to guide and to manifest you, Father, within us and through us. Holy Spirit, we pray for your leading and guiding today as we open the word which you gave us. You gave it to us. We ask you to interpret it for us. May the words that I speak today not be my own words. May they be your words, Holy Spirit. And may we all listen and apply. And may we be able to hear not only with our physical ears and process with our human mind, but may we hear deeper. May we hear with our spirit today, for we must remember that spiritual truths are spiritually understood according to your word that you gave us. So be our teacher today. May God be blessed. May he be glorified. May the name of Jesus exalted. May those who hear be edified, built up, and encouraged today. In the precious name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen and amen. Well, again, dear friend, thanks so much for joining us today on A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. We're going to be in John chapter 6 for a good part of our time together today. And we're still talking about the miracle of Jesus walking on the water, the miracle of Peter walking on the water for at least a short time. Now, we kind of focus on the fact that his faith failed, but let's not forget that he was the only one who got up out of that boat and started walking to Jesus. And there's a lesson, of course, for us there. Peter got his eyes off Jesus and got them on the circumstances. He saw the raging water around him and the wind blowing so strong. And I'm sure his human mind said, I can't be doing this. You know, what am I doing? This is humanly impossible. And he was right. It was humanly impossible. But he was walking in the supernatural power of the Son of God at that moment in time. And had he kept his eyes on Jesus, he would have been able to walk right to Jesus. But he began to sink when he found his eyes on the sea and on the circumstances. That's so true of us, my friend. You see, we're admonished to keep our eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and to run the race that is set before us with patience. We sometimes get our eyes off Jesus. Well, let's just be truthful. We often get our eyes off Jesus, don't we? We get them on our circumstances, and we let the circumstances overwhelm us and beat us down. And, you know, we are above the circumstances. If we'll keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ, we can walk on top of the circumstances as Peter was walking on top of the sea. Might note that this is the fifth of the seven signs that John records for us in the book of John, in the Gospel of John. And there are two here. Actually, there are three miracles here in this walking on the water. Jesus walking on the water, Jesus calming the sea, Peter walking on the water. It's a miracle, of course, of God as well, of Jesus Christ as well. And then there's the miracle of the boat immediately getting to land. So I guess you could say there are four miracles here in all. Jesus walking on the water, Peter walking on the water, Jesus calming the sea, and the boat itself going immediately to the other side. Now, we've talked about this at some length, so I'm not going to dwell on the miracle itself, But I want to talk today about a couple of things that follow. Now, last session together, we talked about Jesus speaking and answering the question, what must we to do the works of God? John chapter 6, verse 28. And then, of course, Jesus answered to that, you must do the works of God by believing in him whom he sent. And this is such an amazing teaching and such an important teaching that we need to study it, I think, over and over again. We need to let this sink into our hearts because it runs contrary to the world, certainly, and it runs contrary to much of what we hear in our churches. Such an emphasis placed upon our doing work and our doing things for Jesus Christ. We're not to do things for Jesus Christ. That's the wrong way to look at it. That's the wrong terminology. We are to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. In other words, believe in him, trust in him. That's our work, Jesus said. And then, in our submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, he rules, he directs. As Paul said, it's no longer I who lives, but Jesus Christ who lives in me and lives through me. And that's the key, my friend, of submission. That's the key of the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. That's the key of our doing works of God, is to submit to Jesus and allow him to be Lord and allow him to do his work in us and through us. And he will do the work of God. We see that because he's the Son of God. He is God. So that's our work, my friend. Now, that's the sum total of our work. Now, remember that Jesus admonished us in Matthew chapter 7 that many will stand before me in that day, he says. He's referring to that day of judgment. And they will say to me, have we not done great works in thy name, and have we not cast out demons in thy name? And Jesus said, I will say to them, depart from me, you who work iniquity, I never knew you. Now let me point out that when he says, shall stand before me in that day, he is then referring to the day of judgment that we see in Revelation chapter 20. The judgment of the unsaved, because he says to them, depart from me, you who work iniquity, I never knew you. These are ones that have been deceived by the devil into trying to do things for Jesus Christ. And that's a counterfeit, my friend, see. That's doing things in the flesh and putting the label of for Christ on it. Oh, my friend, we need to understand that it's of Christ, not for Christ. The works that are done in us and through us by Christ as Lord of our lives. Now, remember that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all dwell in us as the children of God. John chapter 14, verse 26 will make this clear, I think, as it can be to us, that we are indwelt by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three. Blessings come from the Father. They come to us through the Son. They're manifested in us and manifested through us by the Holy Spirit. That's a separation of the work of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, I suppose you could say. But the Holy Spirit is the manifestation of God in our lives and through our lives. In fact, I'll go so far as to say that what we refer to as the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I believe are really nothing more than the way the Holy Spirit is choosing to manifest himself at that particular point in our lives. So much of the teaching of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit refer to these as things that are given by the Holy Spirit to us. You know, the Holy Spirit is the gift, my friend. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus is speaking of the parents. He says, you are parents, and you know how to give good gifts to your children. And if they ask for a piece of bread, you don't cast them a stone. If they ask for a fish, you don't throw them a scorpion, something that will hurt them. And he said, you, as parents, human parents, you know how to give good gifts to your children. Now, how much more does the Father know to give the Holy Spirit to his children? You see, the Holy Spirit manifests everything from God. Remember now this. Everything comes from God. That's we get in James. James says all good and perfect gifts come from the Father above. Everything comes to us through Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Nothing comes from the Father except coming by Jesus now in this period of time in which we live. And then also in this period of time in which we live, the Holy Spirit is given to us as a seal upon our lives, as God's seal upon our lives, and as God's power working in us. So all of these gifts, all of the work of God is manifested in us and manifested through us by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is the gift. The Holy Spirit's the gift. God is the gift. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Everything is in Him. Everything is in Jesus, we're told in God's Word. Everything is in Jesus. God shall meet all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, we're told. And these gifts, this work of God, is manifested in us and manifested through us by the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that. So when we are children of God, and we are truly allowing Jesus to be Lord of our lives, our work then, our total work, our full work, our complete work, is to believe in Christ. Walk in that belief, walk in trust, and then allow Jesus, submit to Him, and allow Him to be Lord of our lives, and to do the work of the Father in us and through us. I stress that again, although I spoke on it the last session together. I stress it again because it is so critical. It is so important. John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29 are so important today because there's such an emphasis on human works, my friend. Now, we try to do our human works and put the label on our works for Christ, for Jesus. But that is not right, my friend. It's not biblical. It's not scriptural. It's not according to God's Word. Our work is to believe. That's it. That's all of it. To believe, to continue to believe, to walk in belief, to walk in trust, and to submit then. That trust, really, if we fully trust, it means we also fully submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And then it's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in us, doing the Father's work through Jesus Christ, manifested in us, manifested through us by the Holy Spirit. It may be through what we call the gift of knowledge, the gift of giving, the gift of prophecy, the gift of healing, however the Holy Spirit chooses to manifest Himself at this point in time through me, is the gift of the Holy Spirit working in me and through me. And remember, Jesus in Luke chapter 11 spoke of the gift of the Holy Spirit to us as the children of God. The gift is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Everything else is in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We need to get that, my friend. Now, remember the Bible tells us that we are created unto good works. Yes, God created us for the purpose of doing good works. But what's good? Jesus said nothing is good except the Father. So the only works that are good are the works of God. He went ahead to say, "For it is God who is at work in you to will and to work for His good pleasure." Oh, my friend, listen to me carefully. Our work is to believe. We yield to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and we allow the works of God the Father to be done in us and to be done through us, through Jesus Christ, who is in us, and by the manifestation of the power of God, the Holy Spirit, within us and through us. It really couldn't be simpler. However, it's difficult. What's difficult about it? It's simple yet difficult? Yes, because it is against our human nature totally for us to submit and yield to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is against our human will. It is against our human psyche. It is against our human nature for us to submit totally and completely to the Lord Jesus Christ to be Lord in our lives. Now, again, I believe the mistake is being made over and over and over again by churches, by individuals, in doing things and putting the label on them, which is a human label, for Christ. I'm doing this for Christ. And it is not for Christ at all. It is not. Jesus said to these people, "Depart from me, you who work iniquity. I never knew you." In fact, I could go so far as to say that it is sin. When we're doing works and putting for Christ on them, and they're coming from our human being, our human person, our human thinking, our human psychology, even if you will, even with the best of intentions of saying we're doing this work for Christ, it is sin. That's what Jesus said. Even though these persons did great works in His name, they cast out demons in His name, and I think we could make a long list of things like we built many wonderful churches, we built many wonderful ministries in Your name, Jesus. And He says, "Depart from me, you who work iniquity. I never knew you." Oh, my friend, this is sobering. This is sobering. You see, back in the earlier part of chapter 7 of Matthew, Jesus said, "The way that leads to eternal life is narrow, and few there be that find it." Oh, my friend, that's sobering. That causes me great concern. Few, He said, find the narrow way. And that narrow way is Him, of course. He is the way. Jesus is the way. He said, "I am the door," in John chapter 10. In John chapter 14, He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me." Nothing could be clearer to us. So in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, "The way that leads to eternal life is narrow, and few," underscore that word few, "find it." He said, "The way that leads to destruction is broad, and many go in thereat," underscore the word many. And then down just a few verses later, He says, "Many will stand before me in that day of judgment," and we call it the great white throne judgment, the judgment of chapter 20 of Revelation, "and they will say to me," in other words, they'll try to argue, and they'll say, "Why are we here? Why are we at this great white throne judgment? Why are we standing here with all these sinners? Have we not done great works in Thy name, Jesus? Have we not cast out demons in Thy name, Jesus?" And He said, "I will say to them, depart from me, you who work iniquity. I never knew you." Let us be certain. I think this is so important because the world today knows practically nothing of what it means to be a servant, to be a bond slave. At least we don't here in North America, here in America. We are stressing individual rights. And when we're children of God, we don't have any individual rights. Our rights have been yielded and submitted to the lordship, to the rulership of Jesus Christ in our lives. Paul referred to himself as a bond servant, as a bond slave. Oh, my friend, listen to this and study it carefully. Study John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29. Run the references on it. Study the word servant and bondslave and slave. Paul wrote so much that I'm a bondslave of Jesus Christ. He said, I count everything as loss for the sake of knowing Him. What was he saying? He says, the one main central purpose of my life is knowing Christ. Everything else is not even on the chart. There's no second, no third, no fourth, no fifth. I just have one main goal, that is knowing Jesus Christ. Everything else I count as loss. Everything else I count as worthless. This is what submission really means to the Lordship of Jesus. We give up our rights. We yield our rights to Him. Paul said, it is no longer I who lives, but Jesus who lives in me and lives through me. Paul wrote, crucify self daily. Daily we must crucify self. In fact, perhaps many times per day, because every set of circumstances we face, every situation we face, we always face the same decision as the children of God. And that decision is this. Will I allow Jesus to be Lord in this situation? Will I give Him control? Will I let Him do what He wants to do in and through this situation? Or will I try to do it myself? I think so often, even we who are submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ will face a situation and will say something like this by our actions. Lord, you just take a back seat and I'll handle this one. That's a mistake. It's always a mistake. We need, as the Apostle Paul, to come to look at ourselves as a bond slave, a bond servant, having no rights of our own, yielded to the Lordship of Jesus, getting to the point where we can say with the Apostle Paul that I am crucifying self daily, and it is no longer I who live, but Jesus Christ who lives in me and through me. When we're there, my friend, believing in Jesus, trusting in Jesus, to the point where we are yielded to Jesus and to His Lordship, then we're in a position where God can do His work in us and through us for His glory and for our good. That's where we need to be. Not in the position of doing things in our human spirit and just trying to put the label on them. These works are for God. Let's remember that Jesus will say, this is sin. This is sin. This is sinful. Oh, we want to label it as good. We want to label it as work for Jesus Christ. But it's sinful. That's what Jesus said about it. So we need to remember that, and we need to learn that that is what He has said. Now, I want to look at one other thing today, and that's a little more time on that review than I intended to spend. But, my friend, this is so critical. This is so important. Everything else becomes secondary to our total yielding and total submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if we're not yielded to His Lordship, and we're trying to do things for Him, let's remember that in Matthew chapter 7, He said, depart from me, you who work iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. Isn't that sad? These people who think that they're doing things for Christ, perhaps they go through a whole lifetime, and they're saying, oh, what I've sacrificed for Jesus, what I've done for Jesus. I've taught Sunday school. I've attended church. I've got the pins to prove it. I've never missed church in 20 years. My friend, those kind of people focusing on those kinds of things can be in this group of people that Jesus refers to here. They're trying to do things for Christ. What's better is to yield to Him, submit to Him, allow Him to be Lord in us and through us, and allow God's work to be done in us and through us. Let us remember that there's no work that's good in God's sight except His work. Remember, the Bible says that our works are as filthy rags in God's sight. Now, we may be patted on the back by others. We may be congratulated by others. We may have good things said about us by others. But, my friend, what we need is for Jesus to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, servant, servant." Remember that. One who has yielded to him, one who has submitted to him, one who has permitted him, Jesus, to be Lord in us and through us, and to do God's work in us and through us. I cannot overstress the importance of that, my friend, for you and me today. We need to stop, we need to pause, and we need to ask ourselves, am I guilty of doing things and putting the label "for Christ" on it, as opposed to yielding to Christ, submitting to him, allowing him to be Lord in me and Lord through me, allowing him to be in control of my life, and allowing him to use me as an instrument through which God's work can be done by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Oh, there's a big difference, big difference. I pray today that the Holy Spirit will open your eyes and open my eyes to the possibility that we may be making the mistake of doing things for Christ instead of submitting to him and allowing him to do the Father's work in us and through us. Yes, we're created into good works, but we need to remember that it is God who is at work in you to work and to will for his good purpose. That is what being a child of God's all about. That's what being a Christian is all about. That's what walking in faith is all about. Remember, it's impossible to please God without faith, my friend. For those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We must diligently seek him. We must submit to him. We must allow Jesus to be Lord in us and Lord through us for God's glory and for our good. Well, my friend, that's a good word for today. I believe really I'll just stop with that today and let that be an underscoring of our need to be servants, servants. We don't need to do what we think is right and then call it service for God. It's not the label we put on it that's important. It's the label that God puts on it. And what he looks at as good works is when we are yielded to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, when we allow God to work in us and through us for his glory and for our good. We are instruments, my friend. We don't control and direct our own lives. Jesus is Lord of our lives if we're truly a child of God. And if he isn't, my friend, if he isn't Lord of your life today, if he isn't in control of your life today, then you may not be a child of God. Oh, you may have been baptized. You may have joined the church. But that doesn't mean you're a child of God. A child of God is one who has surrendered to the Savior and surrendered to the Lord. Jesus is both Savior and Lord. And he must be in order to be either in our lives. Let us yield to him. Let us crucify self daily. Let us say with the Apostle Paul, "It is no longer I who lives, but Jesus Christ who lives in me and through me. I have no rights. I'm a bond slave of Jesus Christ. I'm yielded. I'm submitted. I'm walking in trust. I'm living by faith, submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and allowing him to do the Father's works in me and through me by the power of the Holy Spirit."